Well, if you have a look at X today, you'll see that Paul O'Sullivan is trending. We had an interview yesterday where he gave his side of the story, and there was there've been a lot of reactions to it, including from an unusual source. Well, I thought so anyway. Mike Miller is the chief executive of JSE-listed Mantengu, and he's had some incredibly strong things to say about O'Sullivan. He challenged O'Sullivan to come on for a one-on-one. I did give Paul the option. He said he would rather find out what exactly Mike is alleging that he has done, because he doesn't think he's done anything wrong. And so, well, we'll have this conversation first, and who knows where it might lead. And last time we spoke, Mike, and welcome to BizNews TV again, it was to do with a rather shocking set of circumstances that you were alleging that Zunaid Morty, and that's, I guess, part of where the whole Paul O'Sullivan thing comes in, has been short-selling your shares to try and, well, do it for his own personal reasons. We must state here that Mr. Morty says that hasn't been the case, and that sparked a series of court appearances. I see you lost one last week with costs. Punitive costs, the judge said. What's going on, though? Just help us through what's happened since we last spoke.
Alec, thanks very much for having me on your show this morning. I think it's no surprise that Mr. O'Sullivan wouldn't join a call like this, because I think he is largely a coward. But I think it's best to set the scene and to go back slightly. It's important to note that both Mr. Motti and Mr. O'Sullivan injected themselves into the world of Mantengu. Mr. Motti first injected himself into our life when we were executing an Anton Piller raid. We were doing an Anton Piller raid to obtain evidence that we believe will support our share manipulation concerns. And out the blue, Mr. Motti then reaches out to us in the middle of the raid, asks for a meeting. And for us, that's totally perplexing. I think from a reputational perspective and compliance perspective, we wouldn't go near the Motti group. And so for us, there were no historical dealings with Mr. Motti up to that point. We then entertained the meeting with Mr. Motti, where in and amongst, you know, many things said, he told me directly that he was going to short our stock to 10 cents, and I dared him to take us to 1 cent. And my argument was that the
Mike, sorry, what is it? What are the two things you've said there that not everybody would understand? The first one is, what is an Anton Piller raid? And secondly, what does shorting a stock mean?
But, so an Anton Piller raid is a legal mechanism that allows, it's a severe legal mechanism that allows an independent group of people that, you know, consists of lawyers, auditors, IT experts, et cetera, to raid a premise, to obtain all of the IT equipment of a target, and the purpose is to preserve evidence. So effectively, when you complete the raid, that evidence then goes to the sheriff, and it remains in custody until you get disclosure later in the process. So that's something that we executed. The reason we did that was we have overwhelming evidence that our share was being intentionally manipulated downwards. And the intention of executing the raid was to prove that all of these nonsensical trades were connected. So if you could prove all of them sat on one IP address or on one WhatsApp group, it's no longer a trade at a loss or at a discount. It's a collective alignment to drop the price of a share. And it's actually quite easy to do. So that was the purpose of the raid and how the raid executes. That evidence still is with the sheriff, but we do hope to obtain it either through the civil or criminal proceedings that are following.
Presumably you can't just get one on a whim. You have to. It sounds like a very serious legal issue. If someone were to come to my home and take away my computers or the evidence on my computers, they'd have to have a damn good reason in law. Correct.
Correct.
How do you get it though? Who do you talk to? Do you approach a judge or is it a magistrate?
It's a high court application. So it's a high court application that's done on what they call an ex parte basis, so outside of court and effectively in secret. You do have to provide overwhelming evidence that there's some form of malfeasance to justify what it is. And for us, I must point out that we first considered it in February 2024, and we only ever executed it in June. And even at that point, we were reticent to do it because of the steps and nature of the action itself. In terms of the shorting, I think maybe I need to be slightly more accurate with my terminology. Effectively, what we saw over a prolonged period of time were nonsensical trades that always reduced our market capitalization and our share price. And the only way that can happen is if you have a group of people that sit on both the buy and the sell side that ultimately buy and sell to themselves. So if you put money into that structure, you're either sitting with shares or you're sitting with cash. And so you can round trip these shares and drop the price over a period of time, where the manipulators, the intention is to destroy, liquidate, and then strip the assets, because obviously a downward trajectory on any listed stock is not a very good sign of the business itself or naturally. So
it gets your shareholders panicking, and if people want to get their hands on your company, it's one of the ways, I guess, they could do it. Now, you were unhappy about this process, and you still are, clearly, and you then took on the JSE. But from what I've seen from the judgment, that didn't end too well for you. What happened there?
There's a lot more to this story, Alex. So if we fast forward from the Anton Piller raid, it was evident there that Mr. Motti had a role to play in this. To what extent, we weren't sure at that time. And ultimately, we took the decision then to go criminal, to find a fighting force that can transcend all the legislation that we have to typically jump through to get to the data. And that's why we landed up issuing our criminal complaint. We did so on the 31st of March, went to the Hawks. The Hawks asked us to give them some time so that they could duly go through it, appoint a prosecutor, and then look to execute the search and seizure warrants. And we did so. Their warning or their caveat was, if there was any delay, that the company must go to market and obviously announce what steps had been taken in terms of the criminal procedure, because obviously it has a material impact on our business and our shareholder value. 3 or 4 weeks, or in fact it was the 7th of May, we got the feedback from the Hawks that the docket had been hijacked by a female brigadier in the Randburg SAP station. And that we must go ahead and publish for safety reasons and also obviously for listings requirements reasons. And that's why we then made the announcements on the 9th of May. Needless to say, that ruffled many feathers, because the JSE wants the world to know that they are untouchable, they are impenetrable, and they've got no vulnerabilities, both from a staff, governance, and control perspective. And I can tell you categorically that's not the case. I was fortunate to make my first appearance on your show on the 14th of May, where I walked you through the process. You asked me about Mr. Motti, and that for me was a very interesting turning point in this process, because many people started to reach out to us to say they applaud what we're doing, they know who we are up against, and they started providing significant evidence of how they were being treated by a criminal enterprise in Johannesburg, how their stocks were also being manipulated, how they were being treated by the JSE. And so we started to gather a lot more tangible evidence that supported our share price concerns. Now, many people will say, but Mike, the FSCA ruled against you. They found no share manipulation. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. However, the FSCA report miraculously, was concluded days after we made our announcement. The FSCA report doesn't even look at the same periods of time. The FSCA report only looks at individual trades. And again, if you can't prove that those trades are being done on a collusive basis, they're going to tell us what we already know, that they're nonsensical trades, but are legal. We understand all of that. But what it did do is it highlighted the fact that there was a husband and wife trading together, resulting in our share price dropping. And that husband and wife are directly linked to who we believe are the perpetrators. So from our perspective, we are going to take that FSCA report on review. There are fundamental and fatal flaws. And our view is that it was forced to be concluded to support the JSE's stance that share manipulation just can't happen on the exchange. And then enter Mr. O'Sullivan. Mr. O'Sullivan then joins you on the 2nd of June, I think it was. Again, I've never had a dealing with Mr. O'Sullivan. And he starts contravening, I don't know how many sections of the Financial Markets Act, but ultimately trying to defend his relationship with Mr. Motti, the fact that Mr. Motti is not involved in any manipulation. And that triggered the second round of, or wave, let me say, of information sharing. And for me, it's clear that Mr. Motti purports to being a legitimate business person. And in my opinion, he does nothing more than lie, cheat, steal, and no amount of billboards on Sandton Drive will convince me otherwise. The thing about Mr. Motti is that he's a coward. And so what cowards do is they appoint bullies to go and do their dirty work. And that's where Mr. O'Sullivan comes in. Anybody that poses a threat to Mr. Motti or the Motti group, Mr. O'Sullivan attacks. And we've seen that from our Mantengu perspective. We've seen it with General Mkhwanazi. And it's a well-trodden path. And for me, it's upsetting because I'd always grown up to know Paul as a crime-fighting, a gangster capture type character. And that's not the case. What we've seen is that he's in business with Mr. Motti. He got issued shares in 2014. Since then, he's borrowed money from Mr. Motti. And there's a settlement agreement which clearly outlines what Mr. O'Sullivan has to do is withdraw sworn affidavits against the Motti group and related parties. Now, that means effectively
Just stop there, Mike. That's a big, big statement. So what you're alleging, and we... I don't want to be in court next to you. Okay, so what you're stating is that he's issued, Paul O'Sullivan has issued affidavits and he's withdrawn them. Have you got evidence of that?
I've got the settlement agreement, and that's why I must actually pass on a debt of gratitude to Mr. O'Sullivan, because if it wasn't for his interview trying to dispel any notion of involvement or impropriety with Mantengu, I wouldn't have got access to that information. So again, what I'm saying to you is he purports to being this independent crime buster. He's anything but. And for somebody to take money and undo sworn affidavits I can't even explain the criminality behind that and lack of integrity.
So let's go on to what you actually put onto X, used to be known as Twitter, and let's just go through this, which you responded. Of course, it's you linked me in there, so I saw it. So did 187 other people. So it hasn't really gone viral yet. Who knows what happens next? But just take us through this statement that you made, which presumably you didn't make it emotionally, and you'd thought about it carefully before posting it. You are the chief executive of a JSE listed company, so there's all kinds of fiduciary duties and shareholders and other things that come into your situation. You aren't just a member of the public, as it were, having a go on X.
No, I absolutely can't, Alex. So just to be clear, from a social media perspective, I really don't like it. So I try to avoid it as much as possible. But I think one needs to understand that Mantengu is in a position where a cancer, and I use that that word specifically, has been put into Mantengu's share register. And if you don't tackle it head on, ultimately, you will fall foul like many other listed companies have. And that's why we know there's wholesale manipulation happening on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, of which we are one of them. So I just want to make the point, nothing that I say lightly. I understand what the risks are. On Thursday, we avoided an attempted hit in the afternoon. They hit the wrong bucky in our security kind of travelcade. So we're aware of the risks, and nothing that we say is without merit. Mm-hmm. And hence the comment I made on Twitter last night.
Let me take you through it. You kicked off by saying Paul is a sellout. So what do you mean by that?
Effectively, he has up to 2014 purported to being this independent, high integrity, crime buster. And ultimately he's a sellout because he sold his integrity to Motti for money, and shares in the Motti businesses. And that's what I'm referring to.
And you say, please ask him how he has been in Motti's pocket since 2014. When I approached Paul O'Sullivan this morning, he said, that's not true. He said he has done a property transaction with him, but that was just a property transaction with one of his companies. He says, since then, he has borrowed from Motti's criminal enterprise and has withdrawn sworn affidavits in return. You've covered that with us, and you have a settlement agreement, as you said, you have a settlement agreement, which was for what? What was the settlement agreement about?
I think just to make the point that all of that evidence that was given to us, we've handed over to the Hawks. So it forms part of our criminal complaint. We can't talk to where it came from or how it got to us, but we've handed over what's been given to us. And for us, it's clear in May 2014, Paul was given shares in one of the Motti companies. And again, the Motti companies are probably 250 odd companies. But it's one of their main companies that they're still operating with today. He was then loaned money by Motti, and for that he had to repay or settle that debt. And the settlement of that debt was the withdrawal of sworn affidavits. And so brazen are the contracts that they actually attach the affidavits that were withdrawn as annexures to the settlement agreement. And that's why, for me, what we've done is we've handed it over, because Paul is simply an extension of this criminal enterprise.
So would Mkhwanazi and the people around him have had sight of this? I'm trying to work out why Mkhwanazi was attacking Paul O'Sullivan so aggressively on such a public platform.
Well, I think it's actually the other way around. As far as I remember, the general made his announcement on the 6th of July. He obviously made references to a criminal enterprise in Johannesburg and with links into, various facets of areas of our society. And it was actually Paul O'Sullivan that went on the attack on Mkhwanazi, and forced Mkhwanazi to defend himself. So I think the chronology of events actually supports the general and not Paul O'Sullivan.
Okay. So let's go on to the next tweet. I think they're still called tweets, hey, when you put them onto X. He says, I would love a one-on-one with Paul anytime on Motti, JSE manipulation, money laundering, Mkhwanazi syndicate, etc. Now, we've spoken about Motti at some length. And the JSE manipulation, you've explained that too. What is the money laundering and Mkhwanazi syndicates reference to do with?
So I think a large part of this is effectively under investigation at the moment. But what I can tell you is that we wanted to inform our shareholders last week of what we have found in our investigation with share manipulation. We've got recordings of how the syndicate operates, how they plot, how they launder money, how they commit bribery and corruption. And as a result, we are almost dead certain that the same syndicate is operating and working against Mantengu. The JSE blocked us from releasing what is ordinarily our right. I mean, if we deem something as the board to be price sensitive and material to our shareholders, we should have the right to talk to our shareholders through the SENS platform. And the JSE blocked us on that. And that was the reason why we went to court. In terms of the order you referred to, you're quite correct. The judge ruled against us. But the order we find absolutely perplexing because there's no reference to any form of law. So to get an order that doesn't actually talk to the rules of the stock exchange just does not make sense. And that's why we've made a call this morning to appeal the judgment. And we'll do everything within our power to make sure that our shareholders are informed. But ultimately, it's a form of censorship because the JSE does not want the public to know that they are vulnerable. That's a fact.
Moving on, the response from Paul O'Sullivan, and I've got another response. He's given me a list of questions to ask you, which I'm sure you're going to be enjoying answering. But he says here that you guys, your share price is down. You're trying to find somebody to blame. And your price is down by 45%, as we can see there. I picked up this share price chart this morning. Why has it fallen so far?
Well, again, I go back to the point that if this criminal syndicate, which we don't think we know, has a what they call system, and the system is buyers and sellers, and if that criminal enterprise puts money into that system, i.e. I control 20 buyers and 20 sellers, and I provide them 10 million rand to go buy and sell my stock for one point, and that's to drive the price down, it's very, very easily done. And it's easily done by round-tripping shares, because you create a false market. When you create a false market, you can play with both demand and supply, and you can drop the price. But there's very little risk to the syndicate, because ultimately, as I said earlier, you're either sitting with shares or you're sitting with cash, right? Now, in these recordings, their modus operandi is clear. And this is what we wanted to inform our shareholders about, in that they want to drop the price, destroy the company, liquidate, and strip the assets, right? And that's ultimately what we have seen them do firsthand to two other listcos. We've effectively done a thesis in our docket, in our criminal complaint. So the first
What are those companies? What other companies were they?
Paul, that will come out in due course, but ultimately forms part of our criminal complaint at the moment. So the point I'm trying to make is that downward trajectory has zero reflection on our business. So much so, if I look at that market cap of 158.8 million rand, I'll give you two or three points of reference. Our first mine that we ultimately listed, the value of that as quantified by the JSE is 850 million rand, right? So that's five times what our current market cap. To show you the other extreme, we've got approximately 400 million rand of our own mining equipment. Tell me how you can have a market cap 40% of your mining fleet, and yet we own five different operations. So that downward curve has absolutely no bearing on the underlying business. But ultimately, in their words, they get in, they fund the system. It's a 2-year, 3-year walk for them. They destroy the company and they strip the assets. And if you look at the assets that we have, a number of them are what Mr. Motti is after. And in fact, we kind of competed in some of them against them. So we're not blind to what's happening. And that's why, you know, these are very serious allegations that we've made and serious steps that we've taken. And I take no joy in what we're doing. I have 24/7 security. My staff have, my family have 24/7 security. The executives in our business have 24/7 security. And that's not something that we take lightly, and obviously it's hugely costly. So it's you know, for me, my message is simple. They've picked the wrong list color, and my responsibility as head of the business is to take them on, and I'm going to.
I've had quite a long career in financial journalism, and I've seen this movie before, and that's why it was so interesting to me to pick it up on your side. The last one did not end well for those who try to short the company. Today, though, I was copied in on an email that has been sent to you from Mr. Morty's, Zunaid Morty's lawyers, Knowles Hussein Lindsay. And in this, they say that your allegations regarding Mantengu, well, first of all, they know. And if you look at item number 5, we're instructed that you're being interviewed today by Mr. Alec Hogg on his show MoneyWeb. Ish, I left MoneyWeb in 2012. So a little bit out of date there, Mohammed. I presume it's Mohammed Hussein who's still involved there. You are cautioned not to abuse such interview for the purpose of repeating your unlawful allegations regarding our client. Should you nevertheless do so, you're advised that our client will institute such legal action against you as may be advised. And yet, You got this as well. You got this letter as well.
Yeah. Well, I think it's quite funny because I got my my first message was at 6 o'clock this morning to inform me that I was going to be on Biz News. Now, I can assure you at 6 o'clock this morning, I had no idea I was going to be on Biz News this morning.
Well, neither did Biz News, because I think I contacted you quite a bit late.
Correct. Biz News only, and that was through Paul O'Sullivan, indirectly through Paul O'Sullivan. So to find out only, you know, an hour after I was originally informed is perplexing, and to receive this 15 minutes before is also perplexing. So, you know, my view on it is we stand by what we've said. If they don't like it, they can obviously look after their rights, which they're well entitled to do. I would highlight that there is a relationship between Mr. Motti and his attorneys that extend beyond standard kind of law client type relationship, and they need to do what they need to do.
So one of the things here that Zunaid Motti's organization and his lawyers are cross about is that you allege that they conduct a criminal enterprise and that there's an improper relationship between Paul O'Sullivan and our client, and you've repeated that again. So that is you're kind of lining up for another lawsuit. You're already spending a lot of shareholders' money on fighting this. Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Well, again, I think the answer is when they create the subsystem and start manipulating your share, Alec, you've got really it really is a cancer that's injected into your system, and you ultimately have a decision to make. You can either ignore it and pretend it's not there and allow shareholders to be hurt in the process, or you take it head on, get the diagnosis, and work out how you're going to fix it. And again, you know, as a director and as the head of the business, this is something I'm not going to ignore. I think what Mr. Motti and Mr. O'Sullivan miss is that we started this business from scratch. We had to borrow money to buy the first shelf company that we ultimately listed. So if he thinks that the core shareholders and core directors are going to turn a blind eye or avoid a fight, I've got news for him coming.
Okay, let's go on to those questions suggested by Paul O'Sullivan, which may help balance his outlandish claims. Number one, the $250 million damages claim against you by Mr. McGowan. What's that all about?
So in fact, you can talk about Mr. McGowan, Mr. Bester, and Seam. They've lodged a collective defamation case against me for 275 million rand. They believe that I have defamed them by stating certain facts. We stand by those facts, and we'll see them in court in due course. I think the point to highlight that I think in South Africa's history, I think the biggest payout has been about 1.5 million rand itself. So when parties typically institute proceedings like that, they're called slap suits. They're there to kind of threaten and intimidate. And as I mentioned to you, that's not going to happen.
Who are these guys? Who's McGowan? And you mentioned Bester. Who are they?
So Mr. Bester was a previous director of Mantengu, we believe he's had some level of involvement. I need to refrain. I don't want to say anything that might defame him, but ultimately he's the financial director of Liberty Coal Terminal, and those entities are the old Optimum Coal assets, and the owner is Mr. Danny McGowan.
Okay. Number two, the High Court order dismissed your claim against the JSE on Friday last week in the High Court with punitive costs. Why?
I think the first question to ask is what was the order? Now, in terms of the listings requirements are clear. If the board deems a matter to be price sensitive, it needs to determine firstly if that's the case, and if it's going to have a material impact on its shareholders, the listings requirements are clear that you must announce without delay. And because of the inherent subjectivity, the responsibility of that announcement rests on the shoulders of the directors for good reason. And practice note two of the listings requirements is also clear: when in doubt, publish. Right? We drafted a SENS announcement, which outlined the criminal investigation, the material developments that have taken place, the recent death threats against myself and my family, which I now have taken a decision to register a case to, which I've done. And then ultimately warn our shareholders that we have significant evidence supporting our concerns that they're being manipulated downwards, and talking to the modus operandi, which I mentioned to you yesterday. The JSE broke their own rules by not allowing us to release that sense. So we went through the right process with our advisor, placed it on sense, and it was blocked. And the question is, why was it blocked? It was blocked because the JSE does not want us to get that message out. They do not want to show any vulnerability, right? And we then took them to court to say, you've abused your own rules. This is our right, our responsibility. Ultimately, we have the risk, whether we make a right or wrong announcement. And this is what we want to inform our shareholders on. Now, the order itself is, as I said to you, the order was against us. But if you look at the order, Alec, there's not one reference to the underlying law, which is the listings requirement. And that for us is perplexing because the listings requirements are absolutely clear. The second element to it is a criminal complaint can have multiple elements in one docket. So as investigations advance, you have more and more supplementary elements. And as our case has developed, those material announcements we wanted our shareholders to be aware of. And the third element that we find perplexing is that death threats against the executive of any listed company shouldn't be acceptable by any means. And again, I think it talks to business continuity. It talks to succession planning. But at the very basic, we cannot have executives that are being threatened daily for doing the right thing. So although the order was against us, we have taken the decision to appeal it. The instruction was given to our legal team this morning. And ultimately, we want to learn from this process, because if it's happening to us, it's happening to many other listed companies. But no one's challenged the JSE, and that's why we want to do it from an intellectual kind of learning perspective.
Question three from Paul O'Sullivan. What's your issue with Moti that you describe him as being the head of a criminal enterprise? Do you have any evidence?
We have significant evidence. All of that is with the Hawks. And it's almost like these questions are a one-on-one, except without him opposing me. But the point is, and I'll reiterate, we haven't picked this fight. Mr. Moti injected himself into our system. And if he's a threat to our shareholders and our business, we will take that head on. And that's what we're doing.
Well, you didn't get your one-on-one, but I guess you've pretty much got the other side and able to answer them as well. Number four, why is Mantengu's share price so low? I think you've covered that, i.e. 50 cents. Why is no one purchasing your stock? I suppose that is a good question. You know, that if it has been manipulated down, and you did mention earlier that the value of your company is should be far in excess of the 158 million, which is what we call market capitalization in the investment field. In other words, if you could buy all the shares at the current share price, then you would have to pay 158 million rand for it. You said to begin with that the JSE, presumably when you first listed, was worth 800 million. So there is a big difference. But why aren't people coming in and scooping up the shares at this level?
So I think there's a couple of reasons for it, and I probably have to thank Mr. Moti and Mr. O'Sullivan for it. If you are round-tripping shares and you are continually dropping the value, effectively what happens is normal retail investors lose faith and confidence in what's happening, and they jump ship. So as these shares are being round-tripped, the syndicate effectively increases their shareholding, and what they try and do is get to a point where they obtain indirect control. In other words, 25 plus one. Now, why is that relevant? Because if you go into a controlling event like a general meeting or an annual general meeting, and if you aren't able to get certain special resolutions through, and I'll use financial assistance as an example, you almost can't operate as a group. And again, the recordings we've got clearly outline how they look to obtain these blocking positions to effectively destroy the company, ultimately land up liquidating and stripping the assets. So there's a much bigger strategy at play. The second point I would make is that we're in a closed period, which means that the directors, until we release our results at some stage in November, cannot trade. I can assure you at these levels, all of our directors would be climbing into the share price. So I think there's various reasons for it, Alec.
And number five is, what net profit after tax did Mantengu make in the last financial year?
The last after tax was about 350 million rand off the top of my head.
So that's double the current market value.
Yeah, correct. So I think the important point tonight, Alec, is that, you know, Mantengu's 2 years and kind of 3 months old. We're a brand new company. We're very much in a develop and build phase. And as you know, cash flow and operations follow. There's always a lag. So as we go forward and as we get out of the develop and build phase into full kind of steady state operations, you will see that lag and the cash flows follow. So just to say that the business is still in its infancy, and obviously we've got some exciting things to come.
Number six, why do you think the JSE is against you? Do you think the JSE is against you and why?
I think the JSE does not want the market to know that there are vulnerabilities in its system. Because again, I think their whole reason for being resonates with market integrity. And if there's a question on market integrity, the impact on financial markets is absolutely huge. So do I think they're against us? No, I don't think they're against us, but they're against the notion that we could be right from a manipulation perspective.
Number seven, where is the report from the Financial Services Conduct Authority, Re Mantengo, and why did you not want it published?
Very simple. That's Mantengu's. So it's in Mantengu's possession, it contains a lot of important and proprietary information. It also highlights people who have been trading in the system, and quite frankly, we believe places them at risk. And it's information that's company information. It's not public information. So very simple. It's within our custody, and that's by agreement with the FSCA.
Can you not redact those names and redact important information so you could put it out there at least that there's more information that people can use to come to a judgment on this?
I think that would have to wait until the review process is completed. Alec, it is a detailed report. And ultimately, if I had to redact all of the confidential or sensitive information, there wouldn't be much left. And I think that's really the issue that we're facing there.
And then finally, does the hidden FSCA report state that they could find no evidence of share price manipulation?
Their conclusion was stated before we even got the detailed report. And again, our view on that is that it's fundamentally flawed. And that's why we've taken the decision to take it on review.
There was another question that he had here, which he added to it. I've just heard that Mike Miller is in the process of attempting to purchase shares in Kilkin Platinum, currently owned by a convicted criminal by the name of Fricky Lutsky. You might also ask Miller what his relationship is with Lutsky and why, if he's so against Motti, he wants to become a minority shareholder in one of his companies.
But I think the point is we're actually looking to buy shares in a company called New Salt Rock City and indirectly shares into Kilkin. For us, it presents a very interesting opportunity for our current chrome and platinum operation up in Tobazimbi. It's an interesting business because you're buying tails from Valterra, the old Anglo Platinum, Valterra, and you're selling the concentrate back to Valterra. So for us, it makes amazing kind of commercial sense. Our biggest concern is on the compliance front. So we are going in and doing a complete due diligence. We're looking to bring in a tier one law firm, but ultimately that will only be kicked off when myself and Megan Naidu are appointed to the board so that we can actually see the information for ourselves.
But what is the real point there is, he's Paul O'Sullivan saying that you're doing business with a convicted criminal. So why are you so upset now about, is that true though? Do you know Lutsky? Do you know his
background? That's absolutely false. So us entering into a term sheet with Mr. Lutsky indirectly is nowhere close to being in business. Secondly, my relationship with Mr. Lutsky is arm's length because we've been looking at this transaction for a period of time. What Mr. O'Sullivan is not telling you is that Mr. Motti took 315 million rand from Mr. Lutsky, didn't pay for the Kilkin shares, and hasn't actually issued the shares through to Mr. Lutsky. And that's one of the reasons why we want to get in on the board and understand exactly what we're dealing with. So this that's a convenient question.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not here. He did give me some questions that presumably he wanted me to ask you. You have answered them. He wants you to provide evidence, he says, so that he can then deal with the evidence. I think you've done a pretty good job of that, although you do say that there were there is the evidence that you have has all gone to the Hawks. So I presume that's going to take a little while to come into the public domain. But we've got a lot more clarity on this. An area we haven't got clarity on is General Mkhwanazi, who you support. In other words, you say that in this divide, Paul O'Sullivan's on the wrong side and General Mkhwanazi is on the right side, if I read you correctly.
I think that every South African has to rally around General Mkhwanazi. Huh? I think what he's done is highlighted the major issues in our society, and he's taken a very bold stance. And in its simplest form, all he's done is place a huge magnifying glass on a system that we all know has been broken. But I don't think any of us understood to what extent. I think our links to the general are, is there a criminal enterprise in Johannesburg utilizing the Johannesburg Stock Exchange? Our answer is yes, we believe there is. And we believe we've got the evidence to support that claim. Otherwise, we wouldn't be making it. So you know, from my perspective, I think we need to be protecting the general at all costs.
Where do we go to from here, from your perspective? What do you see? How do you see things actually rolling out?
Well, I think, again, if I look just from a Mantengu perspective, we need to get all the information out to the market of what we know is happening on the exchange, and in particular to Mantengu and to other listed companies, because there are significant losses and prejudicial positions that have been placed on pension funds, a lot of poor people, etc. And that's not something we're going to stand up for. So from a Mantengu perspective, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that our shareholders in the market understand how we've been manipulated. And then for us, it's business as usual. So, you know, things like this often can become a distraction. That's why I've effectively removed myself from the business to tackle this head on, and to try and keep the risk of contagion into the operations. And that's really why we've restructured our board and our management teams to make sure that whilst we're dealing with this, our operations are running at steady state.
So you're not going to be distracted by the operations. You've got other people focusing on that. You are focusing on this fight with Motti and
It's not just Motti. It's this cancer that they inject into your share register, and I've got to get to the bottom of it. It's not something that I can ignore. Again, Alec, we don't make these allegations lightly. You know, they come at huge personal security risk. As I mentioned to you, our security vehicle was taken out on Thursday. How there were no deaths, I can't explain to you. So, you know, there's no upside in us doing what we're doing or me saying what I'm saying. But it's something that has to be tackled as a director of Mantengu, and that's what I'm going to do.
How was it taken out?
So we were driving back, funny enough, whilst the court case was being heard and whilst the judge deemed death threats not to be material, what happened was we had a car following us and my security vehicle at the back, because you do drive in a specific formation. There was a Ford Ranger that came up and bumped the back of the Bucky. And what that does from a tactic perspective is the back of the Bucky swings out and rolls. So these guys rolled always at 130 odd Ks an hour. And I'm just lucky that everybody survived, and off went the Ford Ranger. So it's a common tactic used on freeways in particular. But it's something that we've just got to be, you know, overly cautious about. And hence why I reiterate, there's no upside in this for Mantengu or myself. But it's something that we have to tackle as a South African and as a director of Mantengu.
Did you get the registration number or Have you got leveled a criminal charge against it?
It all happens so fast because, you know, the immediate reaction is from the bodyguard who's with me in the car is to get me out of harm's way. So I'm already being pulled out the car and expecting a big firefight to take place. That didn't take place. My immediate concern was to my team. So I ran over to pull them out of the vehicles and just make sure they were fine. And thank goodness they were. I know the security team is doing detailed work between Warden and Harry Smith to try and get plates or to try and locate the car, but I'm not sure where they are on that investigation.
So it was on the N3?
Correct.
You didn't sign up for any of this when you went into business, I'm sure. Boxing with Zunaid Moti, who's, whether it's a criminal enterprise or not, as you allege, he certainly is a big player. And then Paul O'Sullivan, who's maybe his iconic status has been tarnished a little by General Mukwanazi, but he still is someone who has great affection in South Africa for the work that he's done in the past. So when you look back on it, would you have done the same thing? Would you have gone in here in the way that you have?
So I think something I cannot stand is and are bullies. Because ultimately, bullies pick on people who can't defend themselves, and these two are simply that. The notion that Paul is some upstanding, crime buster, he lost that title many, many years ago. And again, these contracts are going to come out. They are with the Hawks. And if I was on the receiving end of a sworn affidavit after 2014, I would be online with my attorney right now. And again, I would talk to Mr. Moti. He is a big name. He is purportedly the richest Indian man in Africa. But again, if you look at the nuts and bolts of the business, I can't see anything more than lies, cheats, and extortion. And again, that's a lot of what the evidence has kind of landed in our lap. I would reiterate, we didn't approach and pick a fight with Mr. Moti. He injected himself in our system. The problem is that we've inadvertently become whistleblowers to a much bigger problem on the exchange.
You know, from a personal point of view, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this one, when we were tackling the Zuptas, Gupta and Zuma organization in 2016 at BizNews, and we were a relatively small business at that stage, certainly relative to today, we felt often that we were not alone, but there weren't too many people standing up and fighting. And then along came the Gupta leaks, and suddenly the cavalry arrived. From your perspective, has General Mukwanazi felt like the cavalry arriving in your fight?
Well, I think it's a very lonely, difficult place to be. I think Alec, you would agree, from your historical experiences, and it is extremely difficult. I have a lot of friends saying to me, "But Mike, why are you doing it? You don't need to be doing it." And the bottom line is, we do. We have a duty to protect, and South Africans have grit. If the Springboks haven't taught us that, then one doesn't know. But it is a very lonely place, and that's why I say, for General Mukwanazi to do what he's done, I think is absolutely huge, and I think we need to support him. And for us, has Mantengu felt unheard? Absolutely. We've been branded these delusional, what do they call us? Small cap, big mouth. All of these kind of sayings, but we're sticking by our guns because we've got a duty to protect our shareholders, and that's what we're going to do. So no, it is a lonely place, and one hopes at some stage, there'll be other listed companies who are having similar experiences, who feel more comfortable to talk out, because I do think this is a bigger issue that we have to get to the bottom of.
But what if Paul O'Sullivan's right? What if General Mukwanazi is actually part of a cabal that includes the crime intelligence guys who've been plundering a 600 million rand slush fund? Where does that put you?
Well, I think the first point to make is that we haven't come out because of General Mukwanazi. We actually started before General Mukwanazi. It just so happens that the two stories are happening at the same point in time. Furthermore, I would state that we've had no engagement with Mukwanazi. I know that our complaint is with National Hawks. I know it is being considered because of the links to the possible links to what he has referred to. So there is no Mike backing General Mukwanazi. The only point I would make is that if that was the case, then we need to get to the bottom of it. And that's why I make the point. He's shone a magnifying glass on the system that ultimately we all want to see what's happening within in our crime fighting kind of units. The only thing I would say, state, is Paul's coming from a very weak base because of the history and because of how he sold out his integrity. So I would take anything he says with a huge pinch of salt.
And then just from your personal perspective, you've mentioned it a couple of times that you don't like bullies. Where does that come from in your own background?
It's just the way I've been made. I've never liked bullies. I don't like people being taken advantage of. And again, I'm one of the founders of this business. I've got a relatively big stake in it. But I've got a lot of people that have backed us through the system, and I cannot have these people bully the people that have entrusted us to look after their investments. So the bullying side of it is just unfortunately how I've been made. So bullying and integrity are kind of two non-negotiables for me.
And those people who've supported you, are they still supporting you with the Don Quixote type approach that you're taking in some people's eyes anyway?
Absolutely. I think if we went to our last AGM, we had overwhelming support with the board. We've had a number of shareholders reaching out to us, thanking for the stance that we've taken. And I think if you look at our share register, none of our major shareholders or core shareholders have offloaded shares. In fact, they've done the opposite. So I think as a general comment, we do have the support of our shareholders. Has it been a very difficult road? Yeah, absolutely. But as I say to you, my obligations and responsibilities are not for mine.
And you're not going away?
I'm not going away soon. Or not planned to anyway. So.
And your upside or your high road of how this all ends?
For me, we just need to get to the bottom of what's absolutely happening on the stock exchange. And again, everyone can turn a blind eye. Everyone can pretend it doesn't happen. It is happening, right? We don't think, we know we are being manipulated. We know we're being blocked to inform our market. And again, it is a bit of a David and Goliath type story, but we can't say we've done everything to protect our shareholders if we don't launch applications and if we don't launch appeals. From our perspective, we've got to keep doing and getting to the bottom of this. This is central to the South African/African financial markets. So it's something that needs to be taken seriously.
But the final, your high road, what you would like to see happening if you could paint a picture for us?
I would want an independent committee to investigate the exchange. All of the data is there. It can be done very easily. And just reassure the market that there is or isn't integrity on the stock exchange. If there is integrity, then we can understand where these gaps are. If there isn't, then we can understand how we rectify it, because we're all in this together. It's not Montagu versus the exchange. We are simply using the exchange so that our shareholders can obviously create a market. So it's about putting all our heads together and trying to find a solution that protects the system, not brings it down. But Montagu can't be the fall guy for that.
Have you had support from Business South Africa, from big businesses? Because clearly what's affecting you, if you're right, could be affecting them at some point in future.
There are three or four other listed companies that have reached out to us with similar concerns. As I mentioned to you, our criminal complaint is almost a thesis on historical examples with the recordings where we've lined up the modus operandi, the drops in share price, the manipulation, etc. For us, there are other people out there, but if I look, most people are scared of the exchange, and our view is why. Most of them are academics that have never left the exchange, and at the end of it, all of us, whether you work for the exchange or not, are reliant on it working. So we all have a vested interest in getting to a positive outcome, but ignoring a possible problem or bullying a small cap is not the way of going about it, because we, even if we are small, have to look after our stakeholders at all costs.
Well, my final point on this story and why I have been paying attention to it in the past and will continue to do so in future was, some years ago, I was called in by the chief executive of a major bank to listen to a recording where the late Brett Keble said he went short, in other words, he sold the rand in huge volumes. And the trader said to him, what are you doing this for? What do you know? And he said, well, I've got XXX, the name of a reporter, who is going to run a piece on Monday. And that is going to cause a bit of a panic. And as a consequence of that, I'm going to make a lot of money. He said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said words to that extent. I never realized things like this went on. And that individual no longer worked for us after that, because he was actually publishing it on the publication that I edited. I'm not going into any more details. It's ancient history, but it opened my eyes to the fact that a heck of a lot happens behind the scenes that we aren't aware of. It's like an onion. We see the outside of the onion, but every time you peel away one of the layers, you realize there's more there. We don't know where this onion is going. We don't know where General Mkhwanazi's threats and allegations and Paul O'Sullivan's rebuffs are, where we don't yet know anyway where the truth lies. O'Sullivan makes a compelling case from his perspective. You've heard Mike Miller today making his case. There is evidence, Mike says, that is sitting with the Hawks. There is evidence, O'Sullivan says, that he has, that he's done no wrong. And I guess that Mr. Motti, issuing the threatening statement that he did today, is also wanting to have his day in court as well. We don't know where all of this goes, but we thank Mike Miller for coming on to BizNews TV today and giving us his side of the story, something that we as South Africans are all watching with rapt attention. Mike Miller is the Chief Executive of Mantengo. I'm Alec Hogg.
Thank you, Alec.
From BizNews.com.